Yay! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez. I'm recording this on a nighttime. It's dark out. It's usually not dark out when I record these, but I'm way off my schedule right now. I've got no time during the day these days, so I'm cramming stuff in the evening. But our evenings are pretty busy around here. We're always shuttling Mitzi back and forth to various things. Also, it's her birthday week. Happy birthday, Mitzi. By the time this episode comes out, she will be 11 years old. 11 years old. Mitzi was my first guest on this show, by the way, back in 2015, which means that she was 5, 6, 7, 8, 6, 7, 8. What was she? How long ago was that? 7 years? 4 years old. She was 4 years old. Now she's 11 and quite the smarty pants, quite filled with sassafras against her old man. So happy birthday, Mitzi. By the time this comes out, you're an old woman. The day this comes out will be the day. Okay, never mind. Anyway, I'm getting too much into the weeds here. Happy birthday, Mitzi. So, yay, Shadow of Death. Hooray, the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Or as this week's book actually says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Psalm 23:4. Psalm 23. I did not know that in some translations it is not the valley of death. It is just the darkest valley. A deep, dark valley. It's not necessarily the one about the death. It's not necessarily the shadow of death. Depending on the translation you read. I read this and I was like, even though I walk through the darkest valley, that's not as intimidating as the Valley of Death. And I looked it up in a few locations and I see the New International Version, which is where the Berenstain Bears get their quotes from. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, and then the footnote says, or the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And then another source says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and then the footnote says, or the valley of deep darkness. And to me, I get that there's multiple meanings in Hebrew. Like, especially in these texts, the Hebrew will use words and phrases that directly link to other words and phrases within the various books of the Old Testament. So, if you're reading in the original Hebrew, you would read a word knowing it's actually calling back to another thing, and then you would get the double or triple even meaning. So I don't know Hebrew. I don't know if this is calling back to something where you would go, okay, I know it says the darkest valley, but I also know it's referring to the darkest valley, the one about that. I don't know if that's the case or if it was just some fun that the translators were having, because there's a world of difference between like, wow, it's pretty dark out here. And, well, this is the land of death. Like, that's, to me, you're dealing with, I'm afraid of the dark, versus like, I'm afraid of mortality. Like, that's two different things. Or maybe they mean the same thing. Who knows? Doesn't have much to do with what we're discussing today, does it? No. Because what we're discussing today is a Berenstain Bears book, obviously. And it might seem a little bit familiar. Why? Because it is remarkably similar to a book I've covered in the past. In 2019, I covered the Cub Club book, The Berenstain Bears Lost in a Cave. It was about the cubs getting lost in a cave and Papa Bear being there to guide them through the cave and not doing a very good job at it. And then they get out of the cave. It was a Cub Club book. It was about the Bear Scouts, and they were getting their spooky cave merit badges, which isn't a thing anymore. So this week's book is a rewrite of that book, which I probably should have done when I originally covered it, but I didn't know this book existed because the title doesn't give away that it's about getting lost in a cave. Like, Lost in a Cave, perfect title. Like, what's happening in the book? They're lost in a cave. spoiler alert, they are, as Brad Maruska would say. And I know if he's listening to this episode, he's pumping his fist right now at my little shout out to his fun joke that he does. The one joke he has that he does a lot. He does it a lot, but we love him, so it's okay. So the book is lost in a cave, and then they were like, let's rewrite it. Because we need Zonder Kids books, as you probably guessed by now. There is some God in this one. And so they rewrote it. And they rewrote it as the Berenstain Bears, Faith Gets Us Through. So you can see where, like, just reading the titles, I wouldn't be like, that's the same one as The Cave. You can see where I would be like, oh, I think I read this one already when I started going through it. Like, I started just reading the book, and I was like, this sounds... seems really familiar. And then I got to the part with the goat, and I was like, oh, right. Speaking of goats, you need to herd goats if you own them. And in order to do that, you need some sort of goat herd, which is very similar to a sheep herder or a shep herd, which is what Psalm 23 is all about. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so that whole psalm is about, like, God'll get me through it. Even if I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, whatever that is, I'm not going to be afraid because God's right here. In a cave? Is God in a cave? Perhaps. He's definitely in this cave, the cave that they get their faith through in 2012. So this is my Jan and Mike, or Stan and Jan with Mike. It's a faith story. It's a Zonder Kids book. It's exactly the same as Lost in a Cave. I'll show you a little bit of the differences. Well, obviously, there's some differences. The artwork is exactly the same. Let me just flip on over here. So in the original book, you see the cubs looking up at the cave, and it says, today was the day the Bear Scouts were going to try to win their spooky cave merit badges. Scout sister looked up at the spooky cave. I'm scared, she said. Me too, said Scout brother. Well, that makes three of us, said Scout Fred. Now, in the rewrite, it's the text is kind of the same, but it says, today was a special day. The Bear Scouts were going to Spooky Cave. They wanted to earn their Cave Adventure merit badge. So no longer is it a Spooky Cave merit badge. Because that seems hyper-specific and very location-oriented. Now, this is just their Cave Adventure merit. Go have a cave adventure, my children. Scout's sister said, I'm a little scared. All right, so no longer is she just flat out scared. She's a little scared. Brother, once again, says me too. Cousin Fred doesn't say that makes three of us. Instead, Scout Fred says, as the Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And I feel like, okay, Fred, but you're still going into a scary cave. You're like... I hate to break it to you, my child, but plenty of devoted follower of the Lord God has found themselves dead in a cave. I can guarantee you that everyone who's found themselves dead in a cave wasn't a dyed-in-the-wool atheist. There's plenty of the faithful who've ended up dead in a cave. What was the name of that musical about the guy who ends up dead in a cave? I can't remember where it goes. It was written by Robert Jason Patrick Brown. One of those. Remember when, like, musical theater suddenly had a bunch of songwriters and composers who had three names? Like, that was like a thing. Like, Jason Ratrick, Robert Scott Brown Thomas. And you'd be like, all right, I know this guy. He writes musicals that are not memorable. Well, he wrote a musical about a guy who gets stuck in a cave. I don't remember his name. I want to say Homer Price, but that was the guy who invented the donut machine. No donut machine in the stuck in a cave musical. Guy gets stuck in a cave, and he dies. And that's the whole musical. But through most of the musical, he's stuck in a cave. And he's singing up to, like, he's going like, lady, lady. And then people will be like, lady, lady, lady. I don't remember how it actually goes. It's very... I mean, it's a good musical, but you're not humming. You ain't tapping your toes on your way out. You're talking to your partner about the man who was stuck in a cave and then he died on stage in front of you. Why did I bring him up? I think he was religious. So, ha ha, Cousin Fred, you can die in a cave. I bet every single one of those women in that movie about the women who got stuck in the cave and killed by the cave monsters. I can't remember what it's called. There were two of them. They get stuck in a cave. They get killed by cave monsters. It's a movie about the women, and they go in the cave, and you're like, this is intense and terrifying because they're actually like in a cave. And then the monsters show up, and you're like, didn't need the monsters. Like, being in a cave is terrifying. Like, legitimately. What is the name of that movie? I want to say it was done by the guy who did the Dog Soldiers movie. Was that him? I don't remember. Bunch of women stuck in a cave. Scarier part of being stuck in a cave is the being stuck in the cave part, not the terrifying monsters part. Just is my two cents. If you're making any stuck in a cave movies, you can pretty much leave it with I've probably said stuck in a cave, but what I was going to say is I bet some of the women in that movie were also pretty religious. Still got stuck in a cave and eaten by monsters. So, if you remember the story from before, they go in the cave, Pompa shows up, and he's like, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get through this cave. Now, there is a little discrepancy here. So, in the original book, Pompa shows up. And he says, I know all about caves, and I know Spooky Cave is nothing to be afraid of. Come, if you want to win your Spooky Cave merit badges, hey, follow me. Now, that doesn't happen in the religious book. Fred says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, and it skips the page where Papa actually shows up and just cuts straight to them all going into the cave, and suddenly Papa's just with them, and he says, come on, don't be scared, we need a little faith, let's earn those badges. So I'm just going to assume this is because they had a limited amount of pages and they got to cut something, so they cut the part where they introduce Papa Bear, because at this point in our lives, we know Papa Bear. So it's pretty much the same thing. We get Papa teaching them about the stalagmites and the stalactites. We get Papa's little rhyme about how to tell stalagmites from stalactites. Stalactites and stalagmites, only caves got them. Tites are on the up on top, mites are on the bottom. They paraphrase it a little bit from the original because I guess they just don't have as much room for words. But it's the same thing. So they learn about the stalactites. In the original book, the scouts look up and they're a little scared because the stalactites look pretty sharp, and what if they fall? Whereas in the rewrite, the scouts looked up and then they looked down. God made amazing things. But they still look fairly apprehensive about the stalactites, as well they should, because if you remember properly, Papa starts screaming at the top of his lungs to teach the cubs about the echo, and the next thing you know, a stalactite falls from the ceiling and almost kills Papa Bear. Well, in the original it says a big stalactite was falling. It was pointing straight at Papa's bottom. But it doesn't say that in the new version. It's just they just cut all that. No bottom talk in the new version. It's quiet time. And instead of the scouts yelling "Look out," cousin Fred says "Be strong and courageous," quoting the Bible, and look out. Papa doesn't get killed. He jumps out of the way. The cubs get lost. And Papa's like, we're not lost. I know all about caves, so I left a trail of string. And here's where the biblical parallel gets kind of a little wonky. Because if you remember, Papa didn't know that a mountain goat had followed them in and had eaten the trail of string. And I'm like, okay, so if the Lord is the shepherd and the cubs are the sheep, then the goat is a goat that eats the sheep's string. I'm losing the allegory here. I thought, who's the goat herd? Is the devil the goat herd? Did the devil lead the goat? I mean, you get a little like Black Phillip situation going on here, but that's a white goat, so I don't know. White Thomas. Is that a satanic goat? I'm not sure. So if God's the shepherd and the devil's the goat herd and bears are sheep, then goats are goats. That's the religion of bear country. Got it. The goat eats the string. Papa feels the breeze on his finger, helps them find their way out, but he doesn't help them find their way out. Instead, he finds a water slide, which is pretty fun. And this is exactly the same, except this is great. So in the original, he didn't know about the underground stream. Yee, shouted Papa. Help, shouted the scouts. Except in the new version, which says, yee, shouted Papa as he fell in the water. Lord help us, prayed the scouts, which I love our cubs. I love our little cubby bears screaming, "Lord, help us." It doesn't seem like a very Berenstain Bears thing to scream, "Lord, help us." But boy, boy, oh boy, do they scream it at the top of their lungs. So down, down they went, down, 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 down to doobie down, out of Spooky Cave. And that's exactly the same. Instead of saying they were at the bottom of the mountain, it says God kept them safe. The scouts were back outside. All right. Then we're at the end. And Papa gives them their, well, in the original, it was their Spooky Cave merit badges. In the new one, it's their Cave Adventure merit badges. Now, in the original, their conversation between the cubs goes, Scout sister says, "That was fun." And brother says, "Yeah, it's like being, it was just like the big water ride at Fun Park." In the new version, Fred says, "Our faith and prayers sure helped us get through." Sister says, "It was fun." And brother said, "It was like a water slide." And I love that, like, Fred is like, "I've got to work my Bible quote in here." And the other two cubs are like, "That's great. It was pretty fun." Like, they ignore Fred. "Well, that was fun. I was like, the Bible always says." "Sure, it was fun. It was like a water slide, Fred. It was like a fun water slide." "Wow, like the Bible always..." "Right, Fred. We know." So, following the original, the cubs asked to do it again. Papa's like, "I know all about caves. I'm glad you asked me that question. The answer is no. You may not do it again." Or as he says in the new version, just no. He just says no. There's no, "You may not do it again." I think they wanted to keep... So they had to keep the original illustrations, is what's fun. They keep the original illustrations. They keep the original illustrations, but they soften Papa a lot by taking out the re-emphasis of "you may not do it again." And the scouts didn't mind. In the new version, they add the line that they were happy in their faith. They were happy they had their badges. They were happy that Papa knew everything about caves. And then we get the same, almost the same exact ending. Well, I guess it is the same exact ending. Almost everything. And that's the Berenstain Bears' faith gets us through. So, like so many of these rewrites, unlike the this started out as a religious book, like so many of these rewrites, they're on shaky religious ground at best. I mean, if you want to believe that your faith in God got you through a sticky situation, helped you stay strong, helped you keep your head clear, more power to you. That's your business. That's between you and your God. But because they had to shoehorn it into a book that was just pretty much about the cubs getting lost in a cave and Papa screwing up left and right, you're left with a really weird, it's a really weird theology, Cousin Fred. It's like, this is what I'm saying. But it actually fits better than the sort of like rewriting that some of the books do. At least this one starts off with Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not..." Like, the whole concept of, "I have faith in the Lord, therefore I'm not going to be afraid, even in the darkest places." That makes sense. That works. That's a nice little lesson for children. But also make sure a goat doesn't eat your string. There's a practicality to it too. You know, like, have your faith, but also don't go stumbling into caves. You're going to end up being like The Descent. You're going to end up like the women in The Descent. All of your friends will be dead, eaten by cave monsters. You'll end up swimming around in blood, and then you'll get out. Or will you? Was it all a dream that you got out? Or did you get out and you get called back for the sequel? Depends. Depends on which ending you saw. Or you'll end up like the guy in that musical about the guy who gets stuck in the cave in the musical by William Jackson Harper Collins Brown. I don't know the guy's name. I do not know the name of the... You know what? I'm going to look it up right now because I feel bad about it. I feel like I've done him a dirty. Guy who gets stuck in cave, the musical. Guy who gets stuck in... Floyd Collins. It's Floyd Collins, the musical. It was by Adam Gutell. It was by Adam Gutell, who I'm just discovering is the grandson of Richard Rodgers. So if anyone ever tells you that you don't have to be related to somebody, it's a lie. You do have to be related to somebody. Adam Gutell, the grandson of Richard Rodgers. And yet, he wrote a musical about a guy who got stuck in a cave. Floyd Collins got stuck in a cave. Real guy. Pretty gnarly story. Like, he was in this really tight place, and it was like a little, like a rock, fell on his foot. But it was in such a, I mean, or it may have been a Big Rock. I don't remember. It was just mimed on stage. Rock falls on his foot, but just on his foot, wedges him in there. He can't pull it out. And so he's trapped in this tight space. And people are like sending him down food and stuff. And it was supposed to be like the first media circus in America. And then he's died in the cave. Like, he was down there for a while. He was squeezed in the cave and he just died. And they wrote a musical about it. I hope when I die, one of you writes a musical about the way I die, no matter how stupid. It's probably just going to be of sadness. It's probably how it's going to be. Which I guess is any musical if you carry the story out long enough. Even Grease has a sad ending if you keep going. I mean, eventually it's going to have a sad... I mean, you've seen Grease. They're not going to end up doing well. That story doesn't end... I hope you don't think that story ends happily for either of them. They flew off in the car, sure. But eventually you got to land the flying car and buy a house in Chicago in 1959 with no high school education. Or did they graduate? They did graduate. He got a letter jacket. That's right. He'll do fine. He lettered in track. He's gonna do okay. That's a good foundation for a greaser boy's education. Sandy, not so much. She threw everything away to be with the grease boy. Sorry, Sandy. Who's the beauty school dropout now? It's you. So if you keep going with any musical, it's just gonna end up sad. Sound of Music. Sad. They're all dead now. That's not happy. Oklahoma. Look what I was. Well, I was going to say Little Shop of Horrors. They all ended up dead. I can't think of any musicals all of a sudden. Sweeney Todd's already pretty sad. Showboat. Pretty sad. Not many of those people end up happy. Brigadoon. Ends up pretty happy for the main characters, but. They're going to wake up in 5 days and they're going to be like, what are all these robots doing here? My idea for, and I've been thinking of this since I was in a production of Brigadoon in high school. My idea for a production of Brigadoon, Brigadoon 2, Back to the Highlands. It's 3 days later in Brigadoon, right? But it's like 300 years later on Earth. So Brigadoon reappears, right? But it reappears in the middle of like this industrial city, like this like Blade Runner-esque city that's like overrun with like androids and aliens and or it's like a sort of like a wasteland. Like things aren't doing well on Earth. And what happens when the Scottish people show up? Like they're like, hey, do the Highland Reel and I'll go home with Bonnie Jean. And then like a death bot arrives, like just like stumbles into the thing, like shooting laser guns. And they're like, oh no, things got pretty bad in Brigadoon because it's 100 years later. That's how it worked, right? It was like every 100 years Brigadoon showed back up. That's a huge jump. Like even if you're going off like just a day later, like Tommy shows back up in town with Fiona. And they get married, and he's like, bye, everyone, I'm going to enjoy my time in Brigadoon. And then, like, a day later, he wakes up, and it's like, oh, yeah, the Earth is dying because of, like, they all get COVID, basically. They all get COVID. Anyway, that's Brigadoon. That's my sequel to Brigadoon. It's pretty. The miracle is over! I remember that line from it. The guy tries to leave the city. I'm leaving Brigadoon. 'Tis the end of all of us. The miracle is over. I didn't play that character. I played the best friend in Brigadoon, Jeff, who doesn't get any songs. Doesn't get to sing a single song. He's on stage for all of them, most of them, just hanging out. He doesn't dance either. He just stands there looking smart. And that's a thankless role. Brigadoon has like 18 leads, about 5 couples, and everyone sings a song except for the best friend. I think his name is Jeff. Is that it? Jeff? I don't know. I had to wear knee pants because I was supposed to be a hunter. There's a character who gets drunk and kills a guy in the musical, but he's also the comic relief. I don't know. There's a reason that Lerner and Lowe were described by Sondheim as They did their job. They wrote a musical that is performable. Like, that's basically how he described Lerner and Lowe. He's like, yeah, I mean, they wrote songs and they are singable songs, and you can sing the words and they carry the story forward and to more or less a greater or lesser degree. That is Lerner and Lowe. That's how Sondheim described Lerner and Lowe. Sorry to everyone who likes Lerner and Lowe. But that was Sondheim's words, not mine. My Fair Lady, pretty good. Funny thing about My Fair Lady, though, you cut all the songs out, you've still got a solid show because they just like wedge some songs into Pygmalion. But you cut all them songs, you got Pygmalion. You cut all the songs from Brigadoon, you have a show that only runs about 2.5 hours, as opposed to the 3.5 hours that Brigadoon runs. It's a long show. There's a ballet in it called the Come to Me, Bend to Me Ballet. That serves no purpose because you don't care about those characters. Speaking of not caring about the characters, the Berenstain Bears, Faith Gets Us Through from 2012. Get your copy today. It's just like the other book, but you can't buy that book. So you gotta buy this one. It's got a goat in it. The goat eats some string. That's it. That's it. I think I'm officially done with referring back to the Cub Club books at this point. Maybe not. If another one sneaks up on me, I'll let you know. But if you want to get a copy of Faith Gets Us Through, pick it up. It's still on for sale. You can buy a brand spanking new copy from your local bookseller. Just ask them. Ask for it by name. Because if you don't, you're not gonna get that book. You'd be like, can I get the book? And they'd be like, you need to ask for it by name. And you go, I was not explicitly, in any case, just ask for the book if you want it. If you don't want it, buy a different Berenstain Bears book. I don't care. My name is Phil. This is Deep in Bear Country. That's not how I end the show. You can find me at BerensteinBearcast.org. You can find me on Twitter at BStainBearcast. Listen to my other shows. It's Del Toro Time that I do with Willow, or Pizza Toast that I do with Christy Admiral. We're doing the Princess Diaries movies right now, and we're going to be doing a different book series starting soon. So you want to listen to me talk about other things? Tune into those. Or don't. Maybe you just need some sleep, like me. Maybe you need to get a good night's sleep. Or maybe a healthy meal. I don't know. Go grab yourself something to eat. Make yourself a frosty milkshake and slurp that sucker down. I don't know. Maybe you should get some exercise. Like I need to get some exercise. I'm not, but I need to. So keep that in mind while you're going about your day. Otherwise, I'm just going to be right here doing what I do, and I'll see you all next time deep in Bear Country.